Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have a guest with us today, first time with the Art of Inja One Gallery, Inja One, the artist and curator herself. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you, Karen, and thank you so much for the invitation. It's really, really nice of you. Thank you.
Absolutely, and I love gifts. I shared that off the air just a minute ago, and I received this gorgeous handmade basket that's just beautiful, and I was curious as to what the material it is, and you said it's made of paper.
It's all recycled paper, and all of it, yes. I love doing that. I love using weird stuff anyway. I love to create stuff with things that people think are not useful anymore, or they discard, and I'm a spiritual chick. So everything has so much energy to it, and maybe they don't see it, but I do. I see the beauty in the things that people tend to throw away, and so I gather up paper and different things, and that's what I use to create new art and bring it back to life and make it beautiful for someone else.
Oh my gosh. Well, you certainly did that for me today. And it's black with some silver and gold. And you said, I hope these are the right colors. And I'm wearing a black dress. I'm like, yeah, that is perfect with me. It's gorgeous. I can't wait to figure out. I said, I'm going to bring it home to share it with my family, but then I've got to bring it back to the studio so it's on display here as well.
Thanks. I'm glad
So clearly an artist.
Oh, yeah.
You work with a lot of different disciplines. Am I right? I
mean, absolutely. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about how you got started. Have you always known that you had this artistic and spiritual flair to yourself?
Ooh, yes. I did. Ever since I was a little girl, you see, I thought everybody saw pictures, stuff floating around. I thought everybody did. I had no idea. When you're a baby, you're a kid, you think everyone sees that. And then as, you know, you grow and you realize that you're telling them, oh, don't you see this? And people are telling you no.
Like, what?
I was like, oh, okay. And then you start feeling a little bit weird. And you're like, you think everyone, you know, oh, well, I'm different. I'm strange, you know? So then you start kind of hiding it away. And that was a lot of it for me when I was a little girl. That's one part. Another part was, I wasn't the happiest of childhoods. And to get a little heavy, you know, there was a lot of abuse. There was a lot of things happening in the house. It was a rough time. And usually children will find something to disappear into. And I disappeared into art. I drew myself away. And so art has been
your refuge.
My refuge, my savior, my everything. And now I'm so blessed that I get a chance to teach and help people now through my art. I love it. I love it. And to me, that's what it was always supposed to be. And I'm doing it today. So I think it's a blessing.
I love it. I grew up in a household that was loving and caring, and there was a lot of chaos. Mm. And it's funny as you shared that about how you melted away into art. That was your therapy. Mine was cleaning my room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got this picture of my little yellow and white bedroom as you shared that. And I thought, that's what I did to escape. That's what I did to find just calm and that ability to come back into myself. It was cleaning my room. And oh, wow. And now even today, I have to make sure that, you know, everything has its place.
Yes.
Because that's how I function. So now you're not only an artist, but you also teach as well. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your gallery and some of the work that you do and who you teach. Who do you find to get to spend time with?
Well, the gallery is located in Globe, Arizona. And where we live, and that I love that. I love you, Globe. I love that place.
You and Dan both. Your husband, Dan Schinder, was on with us just a bit ago.
Yes.
Of Drum Talk TV and social media on steroids.
Yeah.
And I know that Globe is a very close place to both of your heart.
Yes, it's a refuge as well. It's very tranquil there. And it's a place, when we first discovered it, I knew that would be the perfect place for us to relocate and really get a chance to totally get immersed into what we do and what we love to do as well. And by doing that, we get a chance to be even more productive. and really embrace what we do. So that's what Globe means for me. And the gallery is located. We found the perfect house for us. And it has the gallery and my office and the retail space and his office and his studio. And it's the perfect place. It has room for everything. So we live and work there. So it's 24/7. And we just love it.
Is Globe an artistic community? You know how some of our little, obviously our little outlying cities, well, even within the Metro Phoenix area, each city has a little personality. Would you describe Globe as an artistic community?
And that, you know, yeah. And we had no idea. We both thought that we were going to just move there and we're going to have a little spot and, you know, hide in the corner, do our thing and, you know, pop out from time to time. And that's not what happened. As we both became more immersed into the community, we realized just how vibrant it really is. And there is a plate house there, and I'm part of the let me make sure I pronounce it right, the Cobre Valley Center of the Arts.
Mm.
Did I do it? Oh, there we go. And as soon as I auditioned, as soon as we got there, and then they welcomed me in, and I've been in several plays there as well.
So you're an actress as well.
I am, darling. Thespian.
So. And I know, right. Listen to you just wearing it like, you know, you have for since day one. And I know when Dan and I ran into each other at National Speakers Association a couple months ago, he mentioned that you guys were doing an improv night.
Yes, I do.
And I wanted to go so bad. I think at a board meeting or something. I know
there's another one this week.
Good. Okay. Hi, Dan. You're here with us. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to Inja's husband, Dan Schinder. We're going to have you on the mic every now and again, as long as she doesn't give you the yank, right?
The cane.
The cane, right?
Yeah. We have, and we do it as a community service through the gallery, and it's called Improv at the Gallery Open Mic Night.
So fun.
And it's open to anyone and everyone to come and express themselves. Art and being creative is a healing process. It was for me. It still is for me. And that's part of the reason why I want to teach. That's why I do teach. And I use every opportunity to embrace that and have people just embrace that in themselves. Because when people come to me, and Dan knows, all of a sudden I start getting the crazy bunched up face. Oh, I'm not creative. And I go,
I was just going to ask you, what do you say to somebody who says, I have no artistic ability or I'm not creative?
I said, everybody's creative.
Poo-poo.
Yes, everyone is. And then I'll ask them the magic questions. I said, do you hear music all the time? Do you see numbers all the time? Do you see colors all the time? What is it? And they'll say, oh, I see. I said, there you are. And that's your creative expression. And we're all born with it. It's just in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's always that way. But the gallery has my work. It has all my original paintings and my sculptures. And it's a lot.
So when I said you work with a lot of different disciplines.
Yes.
Tell us about that. Crafting, of course. Murals.
Yes.
Painting.
Yes.
Sculptures.
Yes.
Like, is there anything that you don't do?
I don't do windows. So
I heard you say that before you said it. That's hilarious.
I love it. And I don't do cat litter.
Hey, but have you painted on windows before?
I bet
you have painted on glass.
I have.
So you do windows.
Yeah, well, with paint, but don't clean them.
Now, you said you don't do cat litter, but you do have cats. Do I remember that?
We have one cat, the fabulous Miss Sage.
I don't know how I knew that. Maybe it's just what little I get to see of you on social media. Not that you're not out there, because you are. But I'm not on social media often enough to see it. But I think I remember that you have. And Sage?
Sage. I know.
A big cat, you said.
She's a big sweetie pie. She's a Maine Coon. A rescue cat. And she's just adorable. So loving. It's just a sweetie pie. She's still a little stinker. You know, she gets into stuff.
As any good cat would.
Well, you know, I think she'd get disowned if she get out of the cat union or something. But you know, she's just amazing, and I just love her to pieces. In the retail space, and back to the gallery, retail space is there's jewelry that I've designed. There's clothing that I've designed. So there's anything from the home to jewelry to fashion. I even have a line of beads that I make. I make anything from paper to leather to fabric beads that people that are crafters that like to do that on their own, that they can even, and I special order as well.
And so then they incorporate that into their either clothing and or artwork.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And so when we were sharing about the beautiful gift that I just was given, the basket was recycled paper.
Yes.
Have you always reused material to create your art, or is that just one of the many things that you love doing?
I'm drawn more towards that.
More and more towards that.
Yes, I love doing it, and there's something special about it. But I'll use about anything.
Yeah.
When I did go to school, and I must say that I am a self-taught artist, I went to the High School of Art and Design in New York. I'm a New Yorker, hello. So I went there.
So that's not self-taught, though.
Well, it's just high school. I never would, I don't have a degree in art. Everything was always very organic for me. Before my other life, I actually was a nurse. So I went to school for nursing.
Really?
And I raised my babies like that. And after everybody was grown, and then I said, you know, what do I want to do?
What I really want to do.
Who are you really? You know, you was mom and you was daughter and you was auntie. You did everything else for everyone else. And it's not just women. I think that's a little bit of everything, but women primarily. And what do you do for everyone else? Now, what are you going to do for you? And I just sat there for a little bit and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And then I was like, that's all I ever wanted to do was create clothing and just paint. And that's all I ever wanted to do. And I had to face the fact and embrace it.
It's time to do it.
It's time to be brave enough to be who you are supposed to be.
Right. So a lot of folks will do that as a hobby.
Yes.
But I'm hearing you say you knew that you had to offer it as a gift to the world and not only do it for yourself and for your soul and for your purpose, but also have an income with it.
Yeah, it was time. And I'm going to tie my fabulous husband, Dan, in because I was working 9 to 5. So I was doing my thing.
She is an actress and a singer as well.
I first met Dan and I had no idea. He had no idea what I did. I didn't even talk about it because I was, you know, doing my thing. And he saw my artwork. He said, what are you doing working? You're supposed to be out there and you're supposed to. I said, are you me? I still wasn't able to embrace it completely. And he's the one that gave me that major push and shove. And let me make a video for you. Let me put this out for you. Let me do this. Let me do that. And I was like, really? Are you sure?
Yes, really.
We had known each other 2 weeks.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah,
yes.
2 weeks. And when I saw her artwork, I was like, what are you doing working at
And how
this
come
place?
It's been 2 weeks already and I didn't know that part
right.
of you?
Yeah. She had mentioned the first time we met that she was an artist, but not in a working artist, that she did art. My mom was an artist, so that connected with me and I told her that. But when I saw her work, which is her mixed media work is, I'm not saying this because I'm her husband, but it's breathtaking.
Oh, thanks, babe.
People come into the gallery and their jaws drop. It's truly breathtaking. And so, like she said, I said, I'll make you a video. And I made her first biographical film, which is about 20 minutes long. Mm-hmm. I set up all these lights in my condo and come over, we'll make a video. Yeah, that sounds
and
legit.
And that's why I said maybe he's not the right one.
Did you go through that?
Oh, I gave him the horrid squinty eye. I did. I wasn't sure what was going on. He was too nice.
Until she saw the video. Then she got it.
He's legit.
Yeah, then I was like, okay, that's okay. Because I was a little nervous. Had a stick in my bag just in case I had to fight my way out. But it was good.
No. That was a little over 10 years ago, and we still use that video. We've made other videos, but that's still like, if you want to know about Anja Oni, it's this video.
Yeah. And at the end of the video, it said, if I ever had the opportunity to teach and show children that they're going to be okay, that it's a safe place, and that would be my dream. And I know that everything that happened to me was to bring me to this point right there. And that's what I'm doing right now.
I love it. The segment we had before Dan, so we had Dan on earlier this afternoon, so we can share about Drum Talk TV and social media on steroids. Prior to that segment, we had some folks in Marie Hall and her son, Quentin, who are coaches. Mm-hmm. And Marie was from a very abusive background and had a very difficult upbringing. And we had a similar conversation during that segment that I believe, and I think you'll agree, we are called to use our trauma. We are called to use our difficulties and our challenges to bring our gifts to the world,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, without the strife that you had in your early life, you wouldn't have found this refuge in drawing. And now to give that gift back and be a teacher and help little ones and big ones.
And big ones, yeah.
little big ones and everyone in between.
Anybody my youngest student is 18 months.
Oh, get out.
Yes, he's 18 months, just a sweetie pie. And I'm his art therapist. So I'm,
yeah,
so that's why I use art therapy for him to just help him with what the things that he's dealing with. And my eldest, my oldest is one. I think it was in his 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, so everybody in between, it was wonderful.
So in this beautiful gift basket that you gave me, your business card was in it. And the first thing I noticed was obviously your gorgeous photo and your smile. But also underneath it, it said, art is a healing medium.
Exactly.
And so what do people say as they interact with you through the art and discovery? What do you hear them say about themselves or even about art? Is there a phrase that you hear frequently, like, oh my gosh, I never knew I could do this? Or what are some of the expressions that people share as a result of healing through art?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is the first word they always say is, it's two words, I can't.
Okay, so first it's the sticking point.
Exactly.
And the resistance.
Exactly. They always resist first. And I'm like, well, and then we start talking and talking and talking, and we're doing a project and is slowly doing it. And I was like, wow, look at you. I said, you know, I don't know what colors. I said, what colors are pulling you? What's pulling you to you? What is it? And then they'll slowly reach for those colors. I was like, okay, good. I said, well, just keep going. Just let it go. It's all going to be fine. And they'll slowly, and then all of a sudden, and I always know when, it's a click and it's a twinkle. I look for those two things, and that's when I know. It's like all of a sudden the head gets a little bit of our,
uh-huh.
The head tilts
like,
a little bit.
Oh.
Okay. And then they're a little smile, a little twinkle. Some people will start to sing. Some people will start to dance in their chair and just wiggle around. And all of a sudden the joy of being a child again, that carefree moment. And that's the magic part of being creative that we all have. That is our refuge all the time. It's always there for us. And I want everyone to know that they can do that at any time. Okay, say you're you always wanted to be an artist, but you are being a bus driver right now. So bring the joy that you feel when you're creating to what you're doing right now. You can still bring it because it's still you. It's in you all the time. So bring that to whatever you're doing. And then that joy will be with you all day.
It's fascinating that you say that. I don't have a great singing voice. In fact, I have no singing voice at all. I know you'll challenge me on that, but I'll stick with that for this example. And I've never really considered myself very artistic. Mm. When I'm in the studio here and I'm in conversation or when I'm coaching someone one-on-one, that's my art. And I always think, gosh, I love watching musicians. I love listening to singers. I love watching dancers, you know, really just anything artistic. I love it, as most of us do. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I wished that I had that in me. And I've realized over time that my gift and my art is communication and being with people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And when I gave myself permission to just be, that was enough. And that was my gift. Then I started allowing myself to be a little bit creative and painting and doing some arts and crafts. And it was, and I'm not too bad. You know, it's kind of fun and it's an outlet for me. My latest thing is painting furniture. Like,
those big
cable spools?
Yeah.
I have one in the backyard and I, you know, thank God for Pinterest because I found some examples. But I did a beautiful table out in the backyard and I've got an umbrella in it and I've got a second one waiting for me to do. And my husband recently had to drive through our neighborhood and pick up a big bureau that someone left out right for the I'm like, hey, if you happen to be in the neighborhood and Eric's with you, could you pick up that dresser and bring it into the garage? Dan's pointing at you. You do the same thing.
Somebody else's
trash is another person's treasure.
I
don't know
it.
What I'm going to do with this thing. And it is heavy.
Uh-huh.
But that, and I never really thought of myself as artistic, but I so have enjoyed just making sure that that's always a part of me.
And isn't that amazing? But look, and the joy that came over your face and the twinkle in your eyes.
You said my head cocked.
I sure did.
I love it. So those are the signs, huh?
Yeah. I also do a lot of designs and of clothing designs for different entertainers in Vegas.
Really?
Because we moved from Vegas 2 years ago.
I knew that part, but I didn't realize that you design clothing for folks.
Yeah. I do the designs for several different performers in Vegas that are on the strip, and it's a lot of fun. And that's the same thing. When I do something, I wait for the twirl.
Okay, speak to that. What is the twirl?
They put the garment on and they'll start to twist and then they twirl around. Guys just do a little twist and they're, you know, all of a sudden they're very, okay, look at this. And they do that and they get very, their back gets straight and they look like that. I was like, oh, okay, so I got you. And
but the women.
Ladies will put it on and they'll spin around just like a little girl when you're putting on a dress. Every time.
Incredible. And so you obviously are a designer for some of these performers.
Yes.
But in your gallery, do you have some clothing pieces as well?
I do.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about like what we could find there in the clothing that you do. What's your thing?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a little bit of everything because I do let the universe pull me where it wants to go. So from anywhere from gowns to suits to dresses. I'll even find shoes and redesign those. I love it. And if I see it and it changes in front of my eyes.
You have to do something with
it. I have to do it. So I'm like, okay. And it morphs right in front of me, just like one of those crazy movies. And I've seen that since I was a kid. That's the part I was like, I thought everyone saw that.
Yeah, I love that you've shared that. I think we all grow up thinking that everyone is just like us. And the older we get, we realize that, oh, I'm kind of unique. And then sometimes, I think frequently, we make ourselves wrong for that uniqueness.
Exactly.
Instead of looking at the power and the beauty and the simplicity and just the who we are.
Yeah. And once you embrace it, then the power that is part of that embracing it, that's what it is. And then people not only they acknowledge it and respect it, it's not something to shun away. They look at it and go, wow, maybe if she does that, I can do it too.
If she can do it, I can do it too. Or if he can do it, I'm looking at both.
Oh, yes, that's right.
If he can do it, I can do it too.
Everybody.
So when you were busy having kiddos and raising kids and being a nurse,
yes.
Were you, did you have an artistic outlet at the time too, or was it kind of hung up on the shelf until you had this epiphany that, you know, maybe this is really what I'm meant to do?
It was hung up on the shelf. I would make, if I wanted a certain dress for my daughter, I would make her dress because I couldn't find anything I really liked. So I'd make it. If I wanted to design a room in the house and I couldn't find any, I was like, oh, let me just do it myself. And I would do all that furniture. I would do everything myself because I couldn't find what I liked. So I would do that. And that was the extent of my artistic expression at that time. And it was pretty limited to, you know, you're being a mom, a mother and wife and what mother, you know, what you're going to do to. And I had four kids naturally, and then I adopted three more. So I said I had seven children. And then,
were you single at the time?
I was married. Oh, I was single, then married, then single. Okay. So at the end of it, I was a single mom with seven kids.
Wow.
And so I had to just, you know, make it work and make a dollar stretch. So, wow. But just a blessing. And I'm so proud of all of them. They're all doing great. And that's a blessing too.
And Dan, you have kids as well.
Four.
So four plus seven.
Yep.
That's a big family. Yeah. And then I know that some of these babies have been having babies, and you have how many grandkids?
19.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And again, we said this on Dan's segment, but I'm embarrassed saying it again. You don't look like you're even out of your 30s, even either of you. So
oh, thanks.
Good.
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that, right?
Yes.
Wow. So what milestones in your career have meant the most to you and why?
Oh, boy. Other than raising all those kids and everybody's all right and still have their fingers and toes. And let's see. Being the first woman muralist for the city of Las Vegas, that was a biggie. I was so proud.
Wow.
And I remember, I didn't even know it when they announced it on a radio station in Las Vegas. And I kind of, my head snapped at the time. I looked, I was like, am I? I didn't know I was. I had no idea. So I'm the first woman muralist for the city of Las Vegas, and I'm the only muralist at that time that did three consecutive murals in three consecutive years.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so where are they still there, and where are they? And
there is an area right behind the Stratosphere Hotel in Las Vegas, and it's an area right there, and it was developing an art drive. The neighborhood wasn't as great as it could be, and they wanted to beautification. But so that the students, they would stop the tagging and the graffiti. They felt that if there was a piece of art there, that they would not only not tag, but enrich their spirits. You know, that where they're living is beautiful too, that someone else cares. So all my murals in Vegas are located in that area.
Oh my gosh. three consecutive years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the first female muralist.
Yes.
Were you commissioned to do it? How did you come across that opportunity?
It's going to segue into something else.
Good.
So one of the major art supporters of Las Vegas had seen my work. And she asked me, she said, well, you know, because all my paintings have the story. So she came to my gallery and looked at the paintings and I told her the stories. She said, wow, that looks like it could be a play. If you're willing to write a play, I will produce it for you. I was like, really? She said, have you ever written a play before? I said, no, but I'm going to do one now. And so I wrote a one-woman show.
Oh, my gosh.
And she produced it for me and I performed it all over, which was really a lot of fun. It's called Pennies from Heaven. And it's the story of me discovering my artwork and the stories that each one told me. And for me to share with the world. And so that's how that happened. And through doing that, the city found out about me. And then they invited me to do that beautification project.
What a great question for me to ask. Who knew that that would be what you had to share with us? Incredible.
Yeah. So
Pennies from Heaven.
Pennies from Heaven.
Are you still performing that? Have you performed it recently?
I still do it. I do it at my gallery now because I can. I have my own stage and everything.
Okay. Of course, you do.
Mm-hmm. So I do that. And it's just a lot of fun. And it is a one-woman show. And what I do is I don't leave the stage. I dress up as each painting. So I take on the persona of the painting. I put on their clothes. And then I tell their story in their voice. And then I'll step back and do it again and tell each one. And it's a narrative. And it's a narrative of survival and rebirth and embracing who you are and everything that happened to me. And the paintings tell my story too.
So if I'm teary-eyed now, having you just describe it, what's going to happen to me when I come and watch this performance? I'm probably going to be a puddle on the floor. And by the way, let me preface that with saying I do enjoy like having emotions, so I'm good with that. But holy cow, I bet it moves people.
The best part about it, honestly, and I'm going to try not to tear up myself. The best part about it is after the performance, and I come out as myself again, and they talk to me as if I wasn't the one on stage. They talk to me and they talk to me as if I know her. Oh, that was my aunt. That mm-hmm. happened to my aunt. That was my father. Oh, I had a cousin like that. And they're talking to me as if I'm me and we're totally separate.
Fascinating.
And that is the most exciting part. And I don't take it as, oh, my acting ability. I take it as their stories that they shared with me was so powerful and I was meant for them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was.
I get it. I'm very emotional right now, and I haven't even. I really, it's very touching to me. You said obviously when we introduced this segment that you are an artistic being and a soulful spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, right? I mean, I knew that when I met you and you walked in, and when Dan had been, you know, preempting our introduction. But really, what a gift that is.
Well, thank you. And I always say I'm just a conduit. It's not me. It's things.
I hear ya.
And I always say, I'm just grateful that I got a chance to listen. And it speaks to all of us. It speaks to all of us in different ways. And all we have to do is just stop for a moment and listen. And it's right there. And it can be just something so minor. Because I'm not spiritual. And they start grunting and carrying on. I said, okay. I said, did you ever get in your car? And you usually take this road. And then today said, oh, why don't you go this way? And when you listen to that voice and go the other way, then you find out that either it was a traffic jam that was going to make you late, or did you hear about that accident? And if you went that way, it would have happened to you. Those are the things. That's our spirit, ourselves talking to us all the time. Mm-hmm. It always does. We just have to be quiet and listen.
I so agree. Yeah.
So
what's in the works for you with the gallery in the future? Are there some new things that are coming about, or do you know where you're going next with it?
Oh, boy. always plans. So let's see. My next, I'm not sure if it's a big thing, but the next thing is starting to put more items and stuff online.
Oh,
so we're going
good.
To be really pushing an online boutique. And it's going to be, of course, the Art of Vinjoni Gallery Boutique. And you'll find everything that I offer there. So that's coming up. Also, a different gallery exhibits that I'm going to be focused on. I want to do one to and this amazing lady, and I'm going to give her, I have to give her a shout out, Christine Marin. And she's a professor at ASU, and she's an amazing historian. And she's originally from Globe, and she's doing this major research on the African-American presence in that area. And so she's been telling me about all these amazing people that are part of the history, but no one talks, no one knows about it, or they forgot about it. And I want to do an exhibit to focus on that experience for Globe. And so that's going to be, of course, in February for African-American History Month. Let's see, other than the other shows and stuff that I'm going to be doing, and I'm going to look at my husband, Dan, because he remembers more stuff that I'm doing than I do.
What does she have coming up next, Danny?
Retreats. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, wow, well done. I don't even think you said anything,
but it's just that.
I just need to get the, and this woman is, you know, I heard right. The tone in his voice. I was like,
I know this. So, retreats. Tell us about that.
Okay, so we're going to be offering art retreats up in Globe. It's going to be, and that's for people that are artistic, that you just need a break sometimes. People that are artistic, but they're in, you have that creative block. Or you just need to take a break, or corporate events. Everything like that.
For everybody is what I hear you saying.
For everybody. And yeah. Then we're going to come up, you're going to have, it's such a beautiful place. There's these amazing bed and breakfasts that are, felt like just a little time capsule. Everything is lots of antiques in their place. It's just beautiful. And so I've already partnered up with them. And so we already have that agreement. Now it's just getting all the little fine tuning in place. And so we already had one for a local event for the Friends of the Library. That's up in Globe. And so we had our first corporate events there where we brought that. But it's corporate events, team building, anything like that, or everything that incorporates. And it's going
to
be fun.
And so when you're planning to come and participate, is this a one-day event with a stayover? Or, I mean, like how many days are the retreats? Does it vary?
Yes, we're going to do a 1, a 2, and a 3-day.
Oh, okay.
And so that way it's for everybody. Because some people only can have a day.
Sure.
So we're going to start with the 1 day. And once that's taken care of, then we're going to branch out to 2. And then we'll go to the 3 and then bring it out to fruition. But it's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be hiking involved and different. And then, of course, between Dan and I, we're going to be cooking and making all kinds of yummy stuff. And we have us other restaurants and stuff in town that's partnering up with us as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of different things just to ignite your creativity.
We'll talk about the event tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, Thursday.
Thank you. That's right. And it's that Improv at the Gallery open mic night. And
it is. Okay, yes.
That is. It's this Thursday. And we're going to have an extended evening, as a matter of fact. And part of not all of the proceeds are going to go to the recent tragedy that happened in Globe. About not quite a month ago now.
Oh, it's 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Thank you very much. And there was a shooting in a local bar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and several people got hurt. So we're going to, usually it's 2 hours. We're going to extend it to 3 and have raffles and other things just to raise some money and give it to the families that need the help.
Wonderful. And if folks want to donate but can't make it to the event, of course, I'm assuming that would be a welcome opportunity as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
they can PayPal you.
Yeah, they can contact me, and I'll make sure I get the right information so they can send it directly to the people that are involved. But yeah, they can. Please feel free to contact me. You can contact me via email, and it's nja@njaone.com. Just email me, and you can find me on Facebook. And my
of course we can find you on Facebook.
But well, with Dan Schindler around, you better.
Right, that's you better be on Facebook,
woman. So, and that would be Nja Oney. Same thing, NJAONE. And my business page is The Art of Nja Oney, and that's on Facebook as well. And just contact me, and for anything else, yeah, please feel free to contact me.
I noticed earlier you said Nja Oney. Earlier, and it just, your first and last name sounds so beautiful together. Do you typically go by Nja Oney, or is it Nja the separate? You know what I mean? You just said it so fluidly. Of course, it's who you are. But okay. I was fascinated. It sounded like it was just like Cher or Madonna. It was just that name, you know?
Dan.
Not quite the same effect, Dan. We have two Dans in the studio, and they're giving each other thumbs up. It's not quite the same as Nja Oney.
First name is Nja, last name is Oney. And my mother was a very wise woman. I love her to pieces. Mom, I love you. She passed away many years ago, but she's always with me.
Yes.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, I got a segue. Pennies from Heaven. That's where I got that the name for the show. Because after my mom passed away, I started finding pennies.
Everywhere. So funny today. And I usually pick pennies up. I was walking over by the copy machine and I saw a penny on the ground. And it's the first time in a long time I didn't pick it up. Mm-hmm. But there she's here. She was here about an hour before you got here. I love it.
She always does. And that's where the name of the show came from, because she always says that when I'm a real good girl, she leaves me a quarter.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, we'll have to look around the studio when
Hello.
We leave.
This is rare.
Hey, now, wait.
That's funny. I know that obviously is not true. This is your biggest supporter, isn't he? Your greatest cheerleader.
Oh, you know, I'm truly blessed. I'm truly blessed. You know, and that's just for everybody out there. And then I'll go back to stuff. But you think that your life is going to go one way. And then all of a sudden, it makes this turn. Yep. And it's those turning points, those pivot points that you need to embrace. And Dan was, and always has been mine.
Mm-hmm.
Even before we met. And so I'm going to tell that story.
Please do.
So when I was a little girl and I started, like, you know, having little boyfriends and stuff, I always had this picture of this guy, my perfect guy. The perfect guy, and teenager, and you have your little boyfriends, you break up. I said, oh, it's okay, because my perfect guy's coming. And then I'm getting older, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm never going to meet this perfect guy. You
but
know?
You could visually see him.
I could
as
see
you
him.
Can visually see everything else.
I knew exactly what he looked like. I knew exactly. So Dan and I met on a blind date. And the third day, it was 1, 2, 3 dates, and we stayed together ever since. It was it.
It's Mike and I, yeah.
So we went, the third day, he invited me to his house, and I was like, okay, squinty eye again.
Right.
Where's the stick? So
even though he looked like the perfect guy, you were still skeptical.
I didn't know. So because I had a vision, this guy with hair, and he had this, had long hair, this whole big thing.
Full beard.
So, yes. So he... Well, I'm in his house, and he says, oh, this is a picture of me when I was younger.
Now I see, because he's, again, this is radio, so Dan has no hair. Yeah, I mean, he has facial hair, but he's bald.
He's bald with a goatee.
Gorgeous goatee.
Yes.
So the younger picture of him was this image that you had seen.
At 16, with a full beard and long hair, and she screamed, and I said, it's not Charles Manson, it's me. And she said, no, this is my fantasy guy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she explained everything she just said.
That was it. And so I always tell him, I cheat on him with him.
With the 16-year-old version of him.
Yeah. I just look at his pitch and go,
So awesome.
But yeah, but that's what happened. But okay, so what happens at the improv?
Yes.
So I got to make sure. So, oh my goodness, we open it up to all the local talent. So singing and musicians and comedy and skits. We have a gentleman that does historical reenactments. He comes in, he's Doc Holliday, and he'll do, his famous moniker is Doc, but he'll do all kinds of things. He's just amazing. And everybody, I mean, Unplugged to, classic Mexican music. We've had everything, comedians. And the youngest performer was 7. Eldest performer was in their 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
We had an older lady that came in and did yodeling. It was just...
Yeah.
It's everything and anything. And we've had standing room. We've had standing room only.
We've had... two local mayors.
I think at that last, most recent improv,
right?
Or a couple of improvs ago, I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just
so much fun.
Stuff.
Now, improv, so folks can come prepared with a little something that they want to share.
Absolutely.
But improv also, by nature of improv, it means, hey, just show up and, you know, roll with whatever is on your heart when you're there.
Exactly. Poets and songwriters and everything, soup to nuts. It's everything. And I always tell them, I said, you bring it. I'm fine. The only thing I request is that you remember that it's family friendly.
Yeah, that's expected.
That's it, because there's young people here too. And the thing that I love the most is that everyone there is so warm, so welcoming, so supportive. It's just a treat to do. I love it. And every month I do something that a song I've never done, or I do something I've never done before.
You push the envelope for yourself as well
as
the host.
I do. I push and I tell myself, I've never done this before. And I'm doing it. I'm the guinea pig. If I can do this.
Anybody can do it.
So come on and don't be afraid. This is a, and my name And that's what I meant to when I said
yes,
grace with my mom.
Yes, I was going to circle back to that.
Thank you. Inja means safe and Oni means place.
Safe place. Yeah. Inja Oni.
Yeah.
Is that, where is the name from? What nationality is that?
I know, right? Mediterranean based. And this is interesting. So my mother was Choctaw and Portuguese from the West Indies. How you like that?
How does that happen?
Mixed.
How does that happen?
Oh, I can, that's another thing with just the family history and the oral history is really, really interesting. But that's what it is. So it's a Mediterranean based name. Yeah.
Safe place. And you are that.
Ah.
Yeah. And you've created that not only for your students, but also the Globe community and obviously your family.
Yeah.
And now our Business Radio X family, which I'm thrilled and honored to be a part of. Wow. And to welcome you in. Speak to the spiritual part, the soulful piece of you. And sometimes I know when people ask me, because I people always say, gosh, you're so spiritual and or soulful. And I really feel like I am, but I also don't always have words to describe it. Was there an influence in your life other than the tragedy? Was your mom a spiritual woman as well?
Yes, very much so. She was. And now that I look back at all the things that she's done for me, and at the time, you know, you're growing up, you know, mom, what are you up to? You know, what do you know, mom?
Right.
But she knew, she recognized it in me, and she really did everything she could to foster it and realize that it's going to be okay and to protect me as much as she could. Like I said, the family home wasn't a great one, and she was going through all kinds, you know, she was getting beat up too.
Oh.
So she did her best, you know, she did her best. But yeah, so she really was able to foster and help me embrace it and understand. And now that I look back, I can understand it even more and more, what she was doing, why she was doing it. And I appreciate that every day. Just like Dan said, to have a parent or parents or someone that you love, that loves you, that's supportive of you, and that's there to foster, you know, your gifts or your talents. It's such a blessing.
We need to have those people in our lives, right? And if they don't come by way of our family by blood, mm-hmm. it's important for us to seek out those friends and or acquaintances who can be encouragers for us. Because
Absolutely.
Otherwise that spark might fizzle out.
Yeah. And it does for so many people every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see it all the time and I'm like, oh, you know, it's gonna be okay. But you have the power to embrace it and change it. You have it. You always have. It's not outside of you. It's inside of you. And if once you recognize that and embrace it, you're unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Yeah. You can do everything. You can do anything. You can do it. And I'm living proof of that. That's what I say every day from where I began to who I am today. The younger me, I'm not sure if she would recognize who I am today.
Oh, I bet.
I could never do this. I'm always a teenage mother. I mean, you name it. That I've had to deal with that. No drug abuse and stuff. I can't deal with that nonsense. I never have. But other than that, everything else that you could possibly imagine.
You've experienced or witnessed.
I've done it. Yeah, I've done or experienced or seen it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty rough. But to be able to embrace that your natural gifts and your natural strengths that you have. And that's what made all the difference in the world. And I'm so proud. I was recognized by the National Endowment of the Arts. I did that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when I think back and I'm like, me? Yeah, you.
Yes, you.
Yeah, me.
You're familiar with the Marianne Williamson poem, the verse around, you know, being all of who you are and not turning down your light so that, you know, sometimes we feel like we have to hide our light so that others don't feel threatened by it. But the opposite is true, which is exactly what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be the light. We have to be an example to the world and stand in our greatness, whatever that looks like and feels like for us, so that we give other people permission to do the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can I chime in on that?
You can.
I think that we attract who we are at that moment. And people who have drama in their lives and they feel that it's coming from this person and that person, I think need to do some introspective thinking because they're attracting that somehow.
Yes.
Whereas the opposite, like Enja was talking about, you know, when you have light people around you and the right people around you, it's because you're attracting that. And I really believe that. And it makes it, when you understand that, it makes it easier to have things the way you want them.
Yeah, very well said. You're right.
Beautiful.
But it has to do with business too.
It has to do with everything.
Exactly. It's about business, too, and understanding that you everything that you do. And I believe that you said, you know, you're the CEO of your company. It's just one person. You're still the CEO. And you are the walking, talking representative, not only of your business, but of your brand and how you manage your business. And that's so important, especially as artists. It's so easy to be flighty, but you have to understand. And if I could say one thing just of the art community, understand your self-worth. Understand your self-worth. And understand what you do is special because you've touched it and you've made it. And that goes for from professionals to amateurs to students to everything. You've touched it. I teach a class doing the paper baskets.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, I teach everything, girl. So I have a class doing the paper baskets. And I said, you know, I'm going to give each one of you the exact same materials.
Oh, and watch how they develop.
Exactly. And then then at the end of the class, I say, okay, everyone look at each other's what you created. You used exactly the same thing, and I taught you exactly the same way, but each one of your baskets is so unique and so individual and so special. Why? Because you touched it.
You're the ingredient.
You're just your magic. You added your magic to it, and it made all the difference in the world. So you have know your self-worth, know what you're capable of, embrace it, and realize that's you. And you also, if you sell something and I don't say, you know, you're just starting out and it's supposed to be $1 trillion. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But you'll know if you didn't price it right because you'll feel bad.
Hmm.
It'll hit you in the gut. You'll know right away. And so understand realize what your spot is, you know, and you give yourself some flexibility. It's going to be okay. But, you know, if you worked 10 hours on something and, you know, you sold it for $1, don't get mad at the person that you sold it to.
Yeah.
You did that. You made that choice. So accept it, learn from it, and move on.
So as you're sharing this piece, which is very sound business advice, especially for an artist, it begs the question, do you also teach artists to stand in the presence of their business as well? I mean, we've talked a lot about, obviously, how you are as a teacher for budding artists or wherever they are in their, you know, their growth as an artist. But how about this? Do you consult and coach? You certainly do it just... I know you do it anyway, but is that a part of your business and something you offer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because a lot of artists will come to me. They're just starting. Oh, you know, I don't know. And what do I do? And, you know, I said, the first thing is please start small. Mm-hmm. Don't overstretch. Don't go past your financial means.
Yeah.
Take your time, slowly grow, and take it easy.
It makes me think of myself as an artist, or not an artist, but an illustrator. I don't know why I'm even saying illustrator. I have a children's book. Wow. I don't know why I couldn't spit that out. I wrote a children's book years ago. And when I was cleaning my office this weekend, I came across a good amount of books that are still, you know, sitting in boxes, ready to be shared. And it's been since 2008 since I published this book. And I thought, it is a lovely book. And it won an award. I just took on more than I should have. Mm-hmm. Because this goes back to our conversation with Dan earlier when he was on with us, that I took on more than I should have and made a commitment beyond what I knew I could handle, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've now been thinking this weekend, like, okay, I need to find a way to gift these. If I'm not going to take time to sell them, I need to gift them so that they're not sitting in these boxes, because what a shame that would be. So I appreciate that sage advice that when you're starting out and if you're just becoming an artist and you want that to be part of what you're doing for an income and legacy, because they kind of go hand in hand,
yes,
be wise about it. But we would need to have someone like you to kind of look to and help guide us through that. So I'm happy to hear that's part of what you offer.
Well, thank you. But we all need mentors
in
so many different forms. I've learned so much from Dan and from his father. I was blessed enough to meet his father, who was an amazing businessman. I love you, Pop. He was just so cool. And when Dan was in Australia and I came back, we went together and I had an exhibit there as well while we were there. He stayed, kept getting work. I had to come back because I had an art show in Vegas that I was already committed to and I needed to go back. So I was there and he was my mentor while Dan was away. And I was like, oh, well, what about this? I mean, he had an art framing business in Simi Valley. And
it's in California.
Yeah. And my goodness, he taught me framing. And I mean, so I learned from the best. He taught me all the things, the other pieces to the puzzle on how to be a complete business person so that it's a, he said, you need to be a one-stop shop. If you're making the painting, be the framer too. Be the so-and-so. Understand this. When do you frame? When do you don't frame? When do you need a mat? When is it so-and-so? When do you do all of those little ingredients, you know, how to put the hardware on a painting properly. You know, so what kind of gauge wire do you use for the weight of the paint? He put me through 101 and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. So all of that is part of the business. Every little thing. If you're going to do it, do it. Embrace it. But do it in little, you know, do your, it's like throwing a pebble in the water. You got the first ripple, then you go out and out and out. Don't go way out into the ocean and then wonder why you're struggling to swim back. Start close and ripple out and just, and let it be so organic and so natural that it's, and it'll be fine. It'll be
and
fine.
And you have to start.
And you have to start. You got to throw that pebble in first.
Yes.
Otherwise it means absolutely nothing. Cause then you just, enjoying yourself in your house. And that, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. And sometimes it's just therapeutic enough, which I offer art therapy too. So, yeah.
Okay, so speak to that. Holy cow. And you cook and what don't you do? I think I already asked that question. Am I allowed to ask that more than once in a segment?
The art therapy, well, you know, what I do, and I don't call it art therapy all the time because some people think of the word therapy and they get turned off.
Sure.
So I lace everything I do with art therapy. The therapeutic, everything is therapeutic. Everything. I just don't call it that. I call it a lesson. I'll call it a seminar. I'll call it a, but it's all about embracing, pulling away the negativity, embracing who you really are, understanding who you are, bringing that to now. And so you can push it into your future. You have the power to do this. But it's all about that. And it's about, and it's the best thing that I could say is start with your words. Because usually the first thing that people will tell me is, I can't, I'll try. It's always those stopping blocks. I said, so what do I do? I said, start by changing your language. What? I said, just change some words. Really? Because you're telling yourself.
You're informing yourself.
Right, to stop. So let's remove that. And instead of try, I will. Mm. I can.
I do.
Hmm. Yeah. And if you do, when you do that, you'll start seeing a change. And so it starts just as simply. And then we go from there. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. One more thing is when artists are, I really like the business part and it feels icky and so and so. And so I do a visual picture because I'm a visual chick, so it's easier. And I'll say, okay, so you have one side of your brain and it's all pretty colors and lights and flowers and it's all fluffy and it feels so good. And you have the other side and there's all these numbers and icky paper and, oh no, I can't stand it. It's so icky. I said, so why don't you, let's build a bridge. Let's build a bridge over there. So you don't have to live over there because it's icky, huh? But okay, you got to go buy some, you got to go shopping sometimes. And you go to the store, you buy, you go shopping, and you go back over to where the pretty flowers are. I said, does that, you can just go over there for a little while,
yes.
Right? And they go, yeah, I could do that. I said, oh, so let's go over the bridge. Let's just do that for a little bit. All right. Okay. So you're done? Yeah. Okay. Let's go back. That's it.
Yeah. And changing the way that they think and feel about that aspect of their business at a cellular level is what you're doing.
Yes.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I just went over that bridge and was able to spend some time there. I said to Dan between your segments, I'm like, Dan, I really need some help on some of the aspects of the selling piece around sponsorship and stuff, because I didn't use a word, but it feels icky to me at times.
Yeah.
And yet I so believe Dan and I have this conversation all the time. And that's a great example of how to transition to make it safe, make it a safe place.
Exactly.
Right. Make it a safe place. Go over there, cross the bridge, spend a little time there, take some of those colors and rich words and things, bring it over. And then you get to come back over on the other side as well.
Yeah.
And just go back over there frequently enough that you can grow in your business.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love it. Great great example.
Well, good. Thank you.
So I've so enjoyed having both of you on today. And while you're chatting, I have Dan out of the corner of my eye, and he's doing the same thing that you did for him. While either one of you are talking and it's your segment, there's just this glow and this pride and joy as the other one of you is listening to the other person. So just like I did during your segment, I'd like to ask you, Dan, what can you share about your beautiful wife, and what haven't we touched on that I think our listeners, or you think our listeners, need to know?
She's talented in so many areas that there's this one area that, for whatever reason, I kind of forget about. And it's not that it's not important. It's not that it's not a strength. But until we start to get ready for our monthly Improv at the Gallery event, I forget that she's an amazing singer.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh my gosh.
And we always perform something together. I'll play a hand drum or something and do something unplugged. We did her own spin on a guy from Ipanema at the last one.
That was fun.
I forgot what it was the month before.
When
Tobacco Road.
Yeah.
We did Imagine.
Yeah.
By John Lennon. And I just forget that, because she does, like, if we were to make a checklist, she does the baskets, she does painted bowls, glass bowls, painted vases, painted bottles, decoupage on all the previous. She does the paper baskets. She has a jewelry line. She does the murals. She does all kinds of other crafts. She does, her iconic work is her mixed media work of people of different cultures. Big pieces, 3.5 by 3.5 feet, 6.5 by 2 feet. I mean, really big pieces. She does little pendants, earrings.
Clothing.
I mean, it goes, yeah, clothing. Yeah. She's a seamstress. She choreographs. She's a playwright. She, all those things. And then, oh yeah, she sings. And she sings really well. It's really cool. But I think the thing I'm most impressed with is what she spoke to at the end there. And that is, most artists and people in the arts do not embrace wearing the business hat. And she has. I mean, when I think of where she was when we first met, she was working some job just to work a job. And then when I saw her work, it was like,
what?
I wanted to, what's wrong with you? Shake her by the, you know, but we only knew each other 2 weeks. But it was, and she's from the Bronx, so I'm not going to do that.
Watch it, baby. That's right.
But, and then to finally embrace who she was and become that again, but at the level that she dreamt about, to make that a reality and let me do that first video. And then over the last few years, and become the businesswoman. See, there's a difference between, let me back up. I had an art glass business years and years and years ago. I did carved and etched glass for restaurants, hotels,
Beautiful
and work. Stuff. And I used to go to this one store on Reseda Boulevard in the San Fernando Valley to buy my art supplies. It was the worst customer experience ever. I mean, I'd go, you couldn't get helped. You couldn't even get rung up to, you know, how hard is it to give someone your money, right? At a retail store.
It was hard.
Yeah. And that's because it was an art supply store that was staffed with artists that happened to work at a business, whereas Enja is a business person that happens to be an artist. And all artists, anyone that starts a business in whatever their passion is, whether it's the food industry, coaching, yoga, jujitsu, any of the arts, any other service provider, or I love bicycles, I'm going to open a bike shop. You've got to be a business person first. If I could use a true life musical metaphor, when I interviewed, the first time I interviewed Ian Pace, the drummer for Deep Purple, he reminded my audience, you're a musician first and a drummer second. It's the same thing in business. You've got to be the business person first, no matter how expert you are and whatever niche that is, whether it's pizza, shoes, bicycles, or art. If you're in business, be in business.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something you had been going through recently, and I've been through it too, where your business is bursting and it's growing and you need to scale it, but you're at that point where you're spending too much time working in the business instead of working on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And most artistics can't even see that because they haven't even embraced being a business person yet. And that's the area I've seen her grow the most. Like, even though she can grab any object, a piece, a desk that she has me pick up off the curb, or a lampshade.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah, or a piece of jewelry, or a vase, or anything, and turn it into an amazing work of art. I don't mean to sound like that doesn't impress me anymore, but it's like, okay, yeah, that's what she does. But the business part is where she has really, really grown. And she's right now, I think, on the cusp of kind of pivoting, making some changes that will just really blow it out. She mentioned getting online. More into the online stuff, and there's some other products and the way she's seeing merchandising her work differently. Code. And it's exciting for me to see.
Well, incredible teamwork, and yet such different businesses. And you do it all, both of you. It's fascinating. And I love the love story that's behind it as well. I mean, like you both, I'm assuming you had been married previously as well, Dan, because you mentioned you had...
Enough for everyone in the room at least once.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Very good. Well, so I get feeling like my life was going in a certain direction and then finding the love of my life kind of accidentally. It's not unlike finding Business Radio X, which is the second love of my life, accidentally. You know, if we get too hung up on what we think we're supposed to be doing, then we miss the opportunity. So I appreciate that you shared that with us as you told your stories today.
Thank you. Absolutely. So well said. Yeah, it's very true.
So it's already at the top of the hour, which is crazy, right? Or top of the hour, the hour we've been together, I should say. if it's not the top of the hour, but it is the end of the hour. What a treat to have you both here today. And would love for you to share one more time how folks can get a hold of you and what it's like to begin working with you. What does that look like for folks?
Okay, so how to contact me is by email, and it's NJA@NJAONE.com. That's my email. Just send me email and tell me what you want to talk about, and it's fine. Facebook is my name, at Inja Oni on Facebook. That's my personal page. And my business page on Facebook is The Art of Inja Oni. And just send me a message, and I'll be more than happy to speak to you. And what is it like to start? Well, like everything, it starts with a conversation. So just let's talk. Let's talk. Because I need to not just know you, but I need to see who you are inside as well. And also, and a little segue, they used to call me the house whisperer. Interesting, I know. Because people would invite me in to do interiors. So I did interiors as well.
Oh, that's right. She does interiors as well.
Of course she does.
And it was always, it was a disconnect of what they thought they wanted and what the house was telling me. And I was like, I said, I'm just the interpreter. So, and I would walk all around the house, and what you really are, it's like scattered all around, and I'm looking, and oh no, I want pink, and you have, you know, green everywhere. I was like, okay, you know, but I'm listening, and the house starts to show me pictures of what's inside, and I'm like, okay, and I start sketching, and they're talking, and I'm sketching, and I said, like, oh, you mean something like this? That's it. It has nothing to do with
what
they
said. Verbalized, yeah.
It was their spirit talking to me, and their spirit in the house was connected, and that was it. So it starts with a conversation, and let me see your insides. Be open enough, and it's going to be okay, because this is a safe place. I'm here just to help.
You are a safe place, yeah.
I'm just here to help.
So what a wonderful way to introduce people to an opportunity to connect with you individually. And at the same time, you offer all these other wonderful opportunities to kind of come into your home and your gallery and your space and be with you in your globe community and really globally. How perfect that you live in globe and you also are a global couple. Love that. So if someone's not quite ready for that initial conversation, because sometimes people are shy.
Absolutely.
There's opportunities to come and do improv with you. There's one coming up. It's once a month.
It's every last Thursday.
Every last Thursday.
So there's one this Thursday, the 29th. Mm-hmm. And we've had people come all the way from Tucson, all the way from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you want to get out of the already beginning holiday madness, come up for some tranquility. You don't have to perform. Mm-mm. There's spoken word, there's poetry, there's comedy, there's music. You never know who's going to show up. Sometimes a big star that I might be friends with, we might be friends with the mayor popping in, which is really cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's a fun environment that you can't find that often. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of people there. We've jammed like 65 people in there before. It's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah, we have refreshments. It's just a nice, different vibe.
So this, if you remember the last Thursday of every month, you can't miss it. The doors open up at 5:30. And This month is going to be extended, but usually it's 6 to 8. This month is 6 to 9. And you don't have to get there at 6. You can get there at 6:30,
yeah, 7. People come and go.
All the time. It's an open door. You just come and enjoy yourself.
And the special gift giving back to your community and the families who have been impacted by the recent tragedy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Globe,
which is why there's the extension for this particular improv. Wonderful.
Exactly.
I would love to have you back.
Oh, sure.
As we get closer to February, right? And if you would consider bringing your ASU artist friend who originated from Globe, and let's promote, let's get ready to share that again, if you'd be willing to come and talk specifically about the African-American community and the history of African-American men and women in Globe.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll contact her today.
I would love that.
She's amazing. She blows me away all the time.
Very good. Well, we would welcome you back and bring your friends.
You got it.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.